You get me. Morning, everybody. Thank you, Jason and Candace. That was great. On Friday night, we had a Bible study, and we were just sharing a little bit about verses that help us with anxiety and fear. And that was actually a good Bible study. I was actually really blessed by a lot of what the young people shared. It was really neat to hear them share different verses that had encouraged them. But one of the verses that came to mind for me was from Lamentations chapter 3. I'm going to start there, and my theme is, and it may not be that long, but I just wanted to read some verses about the goodness of God and the desire to know his goodness and to understand it and to see it, and how in the passages I was reading on it, there just was a real strong correlation between being delivered from fear and being delivered and having hope in the midst of whatever circumstances God allows in our lives. And I think that hope and understanding can be really founded on having a heart that has searched out the goodness of God and had a desire to understand God's goodness, such that when circumstances come that are difficult, we can still trust him and still look to him and still believe in that. And so anyways, I'm just going to read some passages to that end. So the first one was in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 20. It says, "Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. This I recall to mind, and therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him." And I was just looking at that, and kind of for myself, what I shared a bit on Friday was that this passage for me is a help when fears or anxieties want to come, because we can have a confidence and we can have a heart that just knows that we serve a merciful Heavenly Father. We serve a Heavenly Father who is compassionate and full of loving kindness. And because of that, we can have hope. I can say for myself some of the times when I've really found this passage to be a help is when some of what I'm facing may be my own doing, or some of the challenge or the thing that are bringing me fear, or some of the things that maybe the little mess that I'm in is because of my own actions or because of things that I haven't been, mistakes I've made. And the enemy is very quick to remind us of that. The enemy is very quick to bring to mind how we perchance have caused some of our own shortcomings or reasons why we shouldn't necessarily hope in God for his salvation, because maybe it's our own fault. Maybe some of what's happened is we can see areas where we've erred or where we've made mistakes. And for me, this passage has always been an encouraging one, because we serve a merciful Heavenly Father and his compassions are new every morning. And even if we have made mistakes, even if we have not handle things correctly, and now there's a difficult situation we're in, we can still come to him and ask him for mercy. We can still come to him and say and have hope in the midst of the situation, because his loving kindness never ceases and his compassions never fail, and they're new every morning. So we can just bring that to each situation that we face and say, God, I need new compassion this morning. Maybe I should have seen this coming. I shouldn't be here, but I need new mercy this morning. I need you to deliver me again in this situation. And that can be a balm or a solution for fear, because the fear is that God's not going to help us, or the fear is that God is somehow not good and somehow this situation can't actually be resolved, and we maybe don't see the path to resolution. But we can always hope in his compassion, and we can always hope in his loving kindness. And that's like an anchor for our souls. We have to believe that. We have to believe that. Like, that's like so foundational to our Christian walk. And this may all be obvious, but for me, it was kind of fresh and encouraging. So let's turn next to Psalm 36. Psalm Sorry, next, Psalm 27. We're going to go to 36 next, but Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse 3, it says, "Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I will be confident. One thing I've asked from the Lord, and that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock." And I just saw again here that David, when he was expressing his confidence and the reason why he wasn't going to be afraid, it was because he'd made it his desire and he'd asked God. He said, "The one thing I will seek is that I may dwell in your house and behold the beauty of the Lord and meditate in his temple." David had made it his purpose to search out the beauty of God, to see how awesome and how wonderful God is, and how much of a refuge, and how rich in mercy, and how rich in compassion he is. And I think because of that, David was able to have this confidence that God would deliver him in trouble, because he had seen how good God is. He'd seen how beautiful his God was. And because of that, he had a confidence that he could just trust in the face of a host encamping against him. The war would rise against him. He would be confident. And I think there's a correlation there, because he knew how good God was, and because he'd seen it and he'd caught a glimpse of it. And he's like, that was his desire. Like, he'd seen some of God's beauty. He'd seen some of God's goodness. And he made it his request of God. He's like, that's the one thing I want. I want to know more of this. I want to understand more of the beauty of God. I want to meditate on this. And when I say the beauty of God, like, what was in my heart this morning, like, some of what we see of his beauty is his kindness and his compassion towards us, how he's revealed himself to us in Jesus Christ, and what Jesus has done for us, and how he has just an awesome plan for each of our lives. And just, I don't know, in my heart, it was just, as I was reading these passages, I was like, I think I need more of this. I think I need more of this desire to understand God's love, to understand how good he is. And I want that as a foundation in my life against fear. I want that as a foundation that when difficult times come or when troubles come, I've made it my purpose that I would seek out the goodness of God, that I would meditate on how his beauty and how good he is, as a refuge in the storm, as something that we can rely on. Like we said, it read in Lamentations, right? Like, that's why Jeremiah had hope. Like, if you look at what Jeremiah was experiencing and all of the rest of Lamentations, it's a hard book, right? Like, it's difficult. All of the judgments of God and the discipline and all the harsh things that were happening to Israel. But because Jeremiah had hope in the compassion, or because Jeremiah knew of the compassion and mercy of God, in spite of all of that, he said, "I have hope. I still have hope in the midst of all of this, because I know I serve a compassionate and merciful God." And that is, like, so contrary to everything he was seeing right then, right? Like, everything he was seeing screamed that God is not compassionate, God is not merciful, like, it's just judgment because of the actions of the people. But Jeremiah said, "No, I still, in the face of all of this, I have hope, because I believe in the compassion and mercy of God." And I just think we need that, and I just know for myself, I definitely know I need that. So let's turn next to Psalm 36. I'll read a couple more passages that kind of speak to the same vein. This passage here doesn't specifically speak, well, it does to some extent. It doesn't specifically talk about fear, but it speaks of a similar theme. So Psalm 36, verse 7. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. And the children of men take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They drink their fill of the abundance of your house. You give them to drink of the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. And just the correlation here, you can see it again, right? Like David is talking about how precious he sees the love of God. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. And then again, he says, like, this is where he wants to go to take refuge. Like, in the face of the storm, he's going to find his refuge in the shadow of God's wing because he's confident. He sees the loving kindness of God. He sees the mercy of God as something that is so precious to him, something that he values so much. And because of that, he knows he has a place of refuge. He knows he has a place where he can go and hide when the trouble comes. And then he says here that those who take refuge, they drink of the fill of the abundance of your house. And I was reading that this morning. I'm like, man, like, am I, like, have I seen this? Like, can I say that I am hiding in God in the face of difficulty and drinking of the abundance of your house? And like, this is a guy in the old covenant. Like, how much more us who have been able to know God through Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit that has been poured into our hearts. Like, I was just like, this is what the Holy Spirit wants to do. The Holy Spirit wants to allow us to see all of the abundance of God's house, to see that God has a river of delight that he wants us to drink from, to fill our hearts, to fill our days with just this satisfaction that comes from him. It says, for you, with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. I don't know, I just read that this morning. I was like, man, like, I need and I want that. Like, I want to understand more, and I want to be having this heart. Like, this is why David said, like, the one thing I've asked, the one thing I will seek is to dwell in the house of the Lord and meditate on his beauty, because he was seeing, like, just the richness that was there. There was an abundance. There was a river of delights. There was a fountain of life that he could partake of as he took refuge in God. And I just was reading these passages, and like, I kind of keep saying it over and over again. Like, for me, I was just like, man, I need more of that. I just know that in the face of difficulties, like, if we could, in the face of difficulties, if we realize that this is what we have in God, if this is where we can partake of, I just think it would just be such a refuge and such a help against the different lies and schemes the enemy would come to say, like, you just think about what Adam and Eve had in the garden, right? Like, they had so much from God. They had so much from God. But where did their eyes get turned to? Their eyes got turned to that one tree God said not to partake of. But where do we want our eyes? We don't want our eyes on the things of this world and the things that may be a temptation to pull us away from God. Like, it's like all the trees of the garden are there. There's such a richness and such an abundance. But the enemy wants to turn our eyes from that. He wants to turn our eyes and say, God is withholding something from you, or somehow there's a better life for you that you're being denied. When God's saying, no, just like, come and know me and understand how rich and how good I am to you, how much blessing I have for you, and how rich and how much delight I want you to partake of in me. Like, don't be distracted. Don't be pulled away by this world. And I can tell you, the enemy wants to do that, right? Like, the enemy wants to tell us that we don't serve a good heavenly Father. And like, we know we can say that notionally, but if we're going through our weeks and we're grumbling and complaining, like, are we partaking of the river of his delights, right? Like, is this our testimony? Or is our testimony is like, man, it's so hard and it's difficult and kind of grumbling a little bit, but knowing I shouldn't be, like, and I don't say this to put anybody down. I say this to look at my own heart. I look at my own heart when I'm saying this and saying, like, which testimony do I have? Is my testimony that I'm partaking of the river of God's delights, and that he's just It's just, I love nothing more than to see and understand more and more of how good my God is. There's my testimony that it's a tough road and I just am grumbling a little bit and just, I don't know, it's just, I just really think there's a lot more here for us to partake of, and that's my desire. Okay, a couple more passages. Let's go to Psalm 46. Starting in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of God Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. And you can just see the correlation again, that those, just all of the difficulties that could come, the mountains slip into the sea and the waters roar and foam and just all of the calamity that could be going on around us. And the response or the understanding of the psalmist is that there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, and that God is a refuge and a very present help in the midst of trouble. That in the midst of all of that, we could be partaking of this river that make glad the city of God. That in the midst of all of this, we could be able to have come to a place where we just are able to find those streams of refreshing, that stream that makes us glad in the midst of circumstances that are really difficult and trying, or just day-to-day life, right? It doesn't have to be some big calamity. It can just be living day-to-day life, right? Like, I just think of this, like, one simple example for me is, like, I look at these, read these passages, and I'm like, when I get home from work at the end of the day, and the kids, Maddie's had a full day, it's been life as usual, have I been partaking of this river that can make me glad? Like, I want to come in the door, and I don't want to be wearing the burdens of the day and the different things that have troubled me and the things that are weighing me down. I want to come in there and be a blessing. I want to come in there because I've been partaking of the river, of this river of gladness, this river of God's delights. And I have something to give to others. I have something to sustain the weary and encourage others. I have something to be a blessing to my children. I want to be able to partake of these things, that I have something to give to others. And I say this because I can tell you, for me personally, walking in the door from the day of work, it's a bit of a hard time for me. I'm usually hungry and maybe I'm a little weighed down with different things. And I just look at that and go, you know what? That's a time in my day and in my life where I just, on a very practical sense, I want to be meditating on God's goodness. I want to come in that door with a heart that has been fed by this stream that feeds the river of God, so that I've got something to be a blessing to others, so that I'm not wearing the weight and cares of the day, but rather I'm meditating on God's goodness and able to have joy and peace and be a blessing. And perhaps if there's some difficulties to face there, I can bring grace to it. I can bring something of what God's goodness to me, I can bring it to others. And I just say that because it's a very practical area for me. When I read these passages and when I think about my day-to-day life, this is what I'm thinking of, like partaking of this joy, partaking and understanding of this goodness to God. It's a very practical thing that we can have in our lives, a richness that God wants for us. It's a richness that He wants us to have it. But we have to desire it. We have to seek it. And we have to have a hope and a faith that believes that it's there for us. So just a couple more passages here. Let's go to Psalm 91. Just going to skip to a couple different verses in here. Verse 1, it says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is him who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your right, at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. I was just reading this and just meditating for me this morning. Some of the things that came to mind for me was just like God covering us with his pinions. Like I was just thinking of that, like a little chick hiding underneath the wing of the hen, or hiding underneath the wing of the protective mother, and just how that's where God wants us to be, that his faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. Like we can just, if we understand how faithful God is to us, we can hold that up like a shield against all of these terrors and all of these difficulties that are there. And then I was thinking about the verse, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. And I was actually thinking about that verse today, and just actually thinking about some of the testimonies we've heard recently. I was actually thinking about Alex when I read that verse, and I was thinking about how we have this testimony of a man who's suffering with cancer and in a hospice or at the hospital. And you could read this verse and say, well, the verse isn't true. Like he's got cancer. You could look at Aaron and Ben, some of us know them, and say, well, how is this verse true that 1,000 may fall at your right side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not approach you? Well, it's approached them. They got cancer. Like, how is this verse true? And I was thinking about this and thinking, like, to be in that situation, to be in that situation of physical suffering and lacking a hope from medical answers, like, there is no hope outside of God. And to say, like, you can have joy in that situation. We have a testimony of Alex who is sharing of how God was revealing his love to him. Like, that is that's not one in 1,000. That's like one in 1,000,000 to be in this situation where you think of all these people and all over the world who are suffering these similar situations. But the promise to the believer is that we can have hope in the midst of it. And I say this not having to walk through it. I'm sharing someone else's testimony, not my own here. But I was reading that and going, that is 1 in 1,000. That is 1 in 10,000. To be able to be in the midst of these situations and still say that my hope is in God. I am still resting under his pinions. I am still able to partake of the river of his delights. I'm learning things about the love of God now that I did not know before. In this situation, I'm learning things about the love of God that I did not understand before I was in this difficult situation. This is God giving a drink of the river of his delights. This is God giving some of that river that makes glad the city of God. And it's just, you can read these things, and they're to me, I was just seeing just the amazingness of these promises. But you have to have faith. Like, to me, as I was meditating on this, I didn't have a verse for it, but I was just looking at this going, like, the key that unlocks these promises is faith. We have to be able to come to these things and believe them in the face of difficulty, whether it's the minor trials of our day-to-day or the more difficult trials and major trials that we know that some who we care about and are close to are going through. Like, faith is the victory. Faith is the answer that unlocks these promises. Like, that's the only key that will open the door to these promises. You have to believe. You have to look and not go by emotions or what you're feeling or what the different lies the enemy may tell you. You have to look at these things and unlock them with faith, because that's the only way to access these promises in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the difficulty. Okay, I'm going to finish in Psalm chapter 34. Psalm 34, verse 4. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no, for to those who fear him, there is no want. And there's just the two things that were just most speaking to me, or two or three things that were most speaking to me in this passage was the, obviously we see another testimony of deliverance here. But I was just looking at this saying, they looked to him and were radiant. Their faces will never be ashamed. And I was just for myself going, you know what? Like, to the extent that I can look at these things of the goodness of God, to the extent that I can just meditate and be taught by the Holy Spirit to meditate on how good God is, on how great of a Savior we have in Jesus Christ, on how much love our Heavenly Father has for us, if we can be taught and able to just look to these things, there's a radiance that can come, right? Like you just, our hearts, I didn't read it in any of these passages, but some of the other passages I read this morning were just about like how the psalmist's heart was so full of praise and thanksgiving to God. And I was just seeing this, like, I'm like, if my heart is able to meditate and look at these things and understand and hope in the goodness of God, it can be so full of praise and thanksgiving because I'm understanding. And like, I don't know, like sometimes you just, I'll be honest, sometimes you sort of look and try and think of things we know we should be thankful. And so it's good to sort of train yourself to try and think of things to be thankful. But sometimes it's like, I don't know, I just feel like it's just, it's an effort, or I'm having to sort of look at just natural circumstances. Maybe this went good, which is fine then to give thanks for. But I just was reading the Psalms and like how they were just praising and giving thanks for how good God was. It wasn't even about their circumstances. They just saw how good and how wonderful God is. And it just filled their hearts with praise for him. I was just like, I want that. I want that. I think to the extent that I can meditate and understand more of God's goodness, my heart will be more and more full of praise for him and more of thanksgiving for the fact that I'm his son and that he's brought me into a relationship with him. And it's just, their faces were radiant. I was just like, yeah, like I think those who are meditating on God's goodness, those who are seeing God's goodness and understanding it, you are going to have a testimony. Your face is going to be reflecting that radiance, that blessing of knowing how good God is. Like I just, it's going to show. It's going to show. There is a radiance that comes from those who look at the goodness of God. It brings about a radiance, and their faces will never be ashamed. They will never be ashamed. And then in verse 8, it says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." That was just my heart this morning. I just was feel like a little bit in these passages I was reading. It was just like a little bit like, yeah, like Joel, taste and see God is good. Like partake of it, believe it, taste it by faith. By faith, taste and see that God is good. How blessed is the man. Sorry. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. God wants us to come to him for refuge. Oh, shoot. He wants us to come to him for refuge. He wants us to taste and see that he is good. And so hopefully maybe in some of these passages that I've read, it can just encourage you, maybe inspire you a little bit that we want to have that, right? Like we want to be partaking of God's goodness, and we want to seek it out, search it out, ask God to reveal it to us, because there's so much there to be found. And sometimes I just don't think I don't think I've been searching hard enough. I don't think there's just maybe perhaps an appreciation for how awesome God is and how much he wants us to know that and to search it out and just partake of all of the abundance he has for us, because we've set our hearts to say, one thing I'm going to seek. I want to dwell and meditate and behold the beauty of God. That's the one thing I want. I want to see God's beauty. And in that, there's a refuge, there's a strength, there's a salvation, there's a deliverance. But the heart is saying, I want to know your beauty, God. I want to understand it more. I want to seek it out. There's just a real blessing there.